Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. And chapter number 5. While you're finding your place, I read something in the newspaper that I thought that was kindly goes along with the message today. I read about a man over in Atlanta, Georgia, who went out one evening and his car was missing from the driveway. So he called the police and reported it stolen, and they came out and took a stolen car report. And so he went to bed, and the next morning he awoke, got up and looked outside, and there was his car back in the driveway. And he went out, it had been washed and detailed, full of gas, been serviced, and there was a note inside and said, "I'm sorry. Last evening I had desperate need of transportation and I had to take your car. I apologize for any inconvenience, but I've serviced it, filled it up with gas, and washed it and detailed it. And there was an envelope laying there with two complimentary tickets to see the Atlanta Braves play baseball." Well, the man normally didn't go to baseball games, but he thought, well, this couldn't be such a bad fella. So he got in his car that evening, and he and his wife went out to watch the Atlanta Braves play baseball. And when they got home, they found their house had been robbed. So this morning you better be careful if your car's missing from your driveway and it shows back up again. But in our text today, the Lord's going to talk to us about a thief in the night. Paul says in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 5, "But of the times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do." Lord, we pray today that your word will go out, today that you, the Holy Spirit, will take it and use it in our lives, that today as we look this morning in this wonderful subject about the coming of our Lord, that Father, today you will show us and teach us and encourage us in the days in which we live. And we'll thank you so much for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I tell you, we're living, I believe, in exciting times this morning. I believe today that we're living in the valley between two great peaks. We live in the valley between the bud-drenched slopes of Mount Calvary and the glorious slopes of Mount Zion today. We live in the valley between the crucifixion of Jesus and the coronation of Jesus. If you read in the book of the Psalms, and you'll read Psalms 22, you find there a detailed account of the crucifixion of our Lord. If you read chapter number 24, you'll find there ascending into the hill of the Lord. But we don't live in the crucifixion, and we don't live yet on Mount Zion, but we live in the valley of the shadow of death as depicted for us in Psalms 23. And we're living today, I believe, on the brink of eternity. And we need to be ready for Jesus to come today. We need to be ready to meet him in the air. Several years ago, I preached in a meeting with a gentleman who had wrote many, many books, and he was telling about a time when he was down in Florida pastoring a church, and he had a radio program on that local radio station every week, and he said he'd go in the little room there where he would make his little broadcast, that it was always littered with pop bottles and paper and cigarette butts, and paper was laying all around, and it was really, really a very bad looking sight, but said he went there every week and preached the gospel out over that radio station. That he arrived one day and he went in and said the walls had been painted, the floors had been cleaned, it was immaculate. And he said, what in the world is going on? And he said, the manager said, man, Paul Harvey's coming to town. He's going to make his broadcast out here. We had to clean everything up. You know, we need to be ready for the Lord to come today. Jesus is coming this morning. We need to be ready and prepared for the coming of the Lord. And that's what Paul talks to us about in this chapter number 5 as he writes this church this morning. He talks here about the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. And so today, just look at just a couple of things with me real quickly. He said that it's going to be a surprising day. He said it's going to be as a thief in the night. Now, when does a thief come? Well, he comes when it's when you're not expecting him. He's a surprise. Never had a thief write a letter or give you a call to say, hey, I'm going to rob you at a certain time, because if he did that, you'd be ready, you'd be watching, and you'd be waiting to apprehend him this morning. You see, in verse number 1, Paul says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Paul said there's a certainty, but there's also an uncertainty. It's certain that Jesus is coming, but it's uncertain as to the exact time. We don't know when this morning. We don't know when the Lord is coming exactly. You know, Jesus, as he was getting ready to ascend back into heaven in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, in verses 6 through 8, as he there spoke to his disciples, and they began to talk to him, you see. And the Bible said, and when they were therefore come together, they asked of the Lord, saying, wilt thou at that time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They wanted to know where was the kingdom about to come to pass. But Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth today. You see, first of all, we need to realize today that anybody today, and I mean anybody, doesn't matter who they are today, that sets dates is absolutely and completely wrong. No one can set the date when Jesus is coming again today. That's always been in the Father's power, and it'll stay there this morning. And Jesus said to those disciples, what you need to do is get your head out of the air and get ready and get people ready for when I do come. You see, today. And he said this morning that we're living on the brink of eternity. We're living right there. Somebody said, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, I can tell you this morning that it's 2,000 years sooner than it ever was. You see, Jesus today was born right on time. The Bible said that in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son born of a woman. Jesus died right on time. He told his mother at the marriage of the Canaan Galilee, woman, mine hour is not yet come. Jesus died right on time. He said, for 3 days and 3 nights this body shall be in the earth, but on the third day I will rise again. And he rose exactly right on time this morning. And I want to tell you today that he ascended right back to heaven just as God had planned and right on time. And one of these glorious days, Jesus is coming back to this earth to rule and to reign right on time. I want to tell you today, we need to understand that Jesus is coming today at exactly the right time. The day of the Lord's coming. And God's wrath will be poured out upon this earth today. The Bible says that God today is holding back. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. The Bible said God don't want anybody to perish. He wants every man to come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to face his judgment today. And he made provision for every individual that's ever lived. But today we see that God is holding back. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 talks about the Holy Spirit holding back today. You see, Satan today, the devil, can't have his time what long as the Holy Spirit is here. Satan today is going to have free reign upon this earth one of these days. I hope this doesn't sound ugly today, but there's literally going to come a time when this earth is going to be turned into a living hell. When today we think about those ghettos in our northern cities many times, we think about those places where we'd be afraid to walk the street even in daytime. This entire earth is going to become a living hell upon the earth. And today, without the holding back of the Holy Spirit, it would already be here. But one day, the Holy Spirit will be removed. One day, the Holy Spirit, as we know it today, will not be here. And God's holding back will not be there today. And the day of the Lord will come in, and the judgment and the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth. You see, that's what Paul says in verse 3. He talks about sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. He said, down in verse number 3, he said, they shall not escape. They shall not escape. He's not referring to God's people, but he's referring to those today who are mockers and scoffers and unbelievers who refuse to repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ today. You see, there's coming a time when the rapture will take place, the catching up of the church, when God's people will join him and meet him in the air as he described for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last few verses of that. But Paul here tells us it's going to be a solemn day. It's going to be a time of sudden destruction. Talks here about the day of the Lord. You know, when Jesus was headed toward Calvary and the women began to cry and to weep as they watched him pass by, he said something very surprising to them. He said, don't cry for me. Don't be weeping for me. You better be weeping for those today who are going to be involved when the day of the Lord comes. Now, what kind of day is the Lord? Well, look at what God says of the day of the Lord. In the Old Testament book of Joel, he describes it for us. He said in chapter 2 and verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations today. You see, the day of the Lord is a day of absolute distinction today. The Bible says there's never been a day like it, and there's never going to be a time like it again. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that if the days were not shortened, even the elect wouldn't be saved today. We can take all the wars that's ever occurred, all the atrocities that we can read about in our newspaper and see on our newscast. We can take all of the horror stories. We can take all of the suffering and the pain that's took place in this world today. And we can roll it all into one bundle. And it still doesn't compare to the day of the Lord when God's judgment will be poured out upon this earth. There's never been a day like it, and there's never going to be a day again today. We need to realize today that there's coming a time when men will call for the mountains and crawl into the mountains and caves and call for the mountains to fall upon them because they can't stand the day of the Lord. It's going to be a very, very sudden day and a very solemn day. It's going to be a time, we know people talk about the judgment of God, and we kind of get a little frolicky about it. We don't really think in how solemn it's going to be. But I want to tell you, it's going to be a very solemn time when the judgment of God comes. When the judgment of God pours out upon this earth, what a horrible, horrible time that's going to be. Well, you read over in the book of the Revelation, and you begin to read what's going to take place upon this earth. How the water will be turned to blood, the fishes in the sea will die. You begin to read how the sky will be dark, how men will be scorched and burned with sores and the heat from the sun. And we could just go on and on as you read there the horror that the book of the Revelation describes in the judgment of God. What a horrible time that's going to be. What a solemn time that Paul is warning us about here. And he said, they shall not escape. It's going to be a solemn day. It's also going to be a sudden day. What did he say? Notice what he said. For when they shall say peace and safety, when they shall say peace and safety, you know, sometimes the calm comes before the storm. Paul's here saying the world will be caught unaware. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, Jesus there compares his coming to a very notable time in the book of Genesis. Notice that what he said in Matthew 24 and verse number 36. Listen carefully. But that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What did he say? He said, the days of Noah, they were just going on. Life was just going on. I mean, they were marrying, giving in marriage. They were eating. They were drinking. They were going about their daily business just as they always had wanted. All at once, the flood came. All at once, God's judgment fell. It caught them all unaware. That's strange that it did, isn't it? Why? Because the Bible said that Noah had been preaching for 120 years. The Spirit of God had been bearing witness of what Noah was doing for 120 years. Yet we find that a world was caught unaware and knew not what was about to take place. It's so strange today that we can look around a world in which you and I live and people are so unaware that the Lord could come before this day is over. That the judgment of God could begin to fall before this day ever ends. But they'll be caught unaware. They knew not. Life was just going on. Now, I can imagine when Noah was building the ark, there's probably a lot of controversy going on, a lot of tongue wagging, and you know they could probably went and asked some scientist, "Hey, we got a crazy man building an ark. What does science say about that?" Well, we don't see any evidence. We don't find any proof that a flood could ever occur. They could probably go to some educator and some philosopher, and he would say, "Well, you know, be hard to believe that a God that really loves people and created this world could destroy it." Some liberal preacher would probably get angry and say, you know, all he is an old uneducated, untrained religious fanatic, and, you know, he's just trying to scare people. He's just trying to make people think that God is a God of judgment when he's really a God of love. I want to tell you today, it's going to be a sudden time when the Lord comes and the judgment of God falls and people are caught unaware. It's a sure day. The Bible said, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on them as travail upon a woman with child. See, this world today is pregnant with God's judgment. It's just waiting to be born. A lady was about 7 months along in her pregnancy, and another person asked him and said, "Well, are you expecting?" He said, "No, it's a sure thing." I want to say this morning, it's a sure thing. The Lord's coming. The judgment of God's going to fall this morning. It's a sure day. And then they're surrounded in darkness. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, if that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day, and we're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You see, today this world is in darkness. We're living in a world filled with darkness today. We have moral darkness, and spiritual darkness, political darkness, ethical darkness today. We live in a time when people call evil good and good evil. I want to tell you, it's just a world of darkness that's out there this morning. Paul said, we're not of the darkness. He said, you need to be aware. Do you realize today that Christians, God's people, are the only one that can really make sense of what's happening in our world this morning? We're God's people are the only people that can take what's happening in our world today and really make sense of it. I mean, we really live in a chaotic world. We live in a time when people are mixed up and chaotic today, and we don't know which way to turn sometimes. And, you know, we're the only people that can really make sense of it. Why? Because we've got the blueprint. We've got God's Word today. And it teaches us what's taking place in our world. We have a great opportunity, you and I do, to witness to people today, because folks will say, well, I don't know what's going to happen next. They say, well, I do. The Lord's coming. Let me tell you what's going to take place next. Jesus is going to arrive. Let me tell you, God's judgment is going to fall. This earth is about ripe for the harvest. We need to be aware today of what's going on around us. And Paul said we ought to be awake. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And we ought to be awake. I think sometimes we Christians have a do not disturb sign on us this morning. When the alarm's going off, we look around, I see, well, when you see things happening in our world today, alarm's going off, and it's saying, hey, you need to wake up. You need to watch today. You need to be sober. You need to be on the lookout. See what's going on around you. A fellow had a cuckoo clock. One morning it went off and it struck 12 and it hit 13 and he jumped up and said, everybody get up. It's later than it's ever been. I'm going to tell you, it's later than it's ever been, folks. We need to get away. And he said, we ought to be alert. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We've got to get our heart right. That's where the breastplate is. We have to look around this morning in faith and love. Then he says we ought to cover the head with the hope of salvation. In the Bible, the word hope is not that today we hope for, but it's a word that literally means absolute certainty. See, today our head need to be covered with that hope. We ought to have absolute confidence. Absolute confidence in God. God's Word today. You look around this world today, and the only thing today that can keep me strength to go on is having absolute confidence in God and His Word. And thank God we're going to have a sure deliverance. You see, today, Jesus is coming at any moment. I don't know when. I can't tell you today or tomorrow, but I know he's coming soon. Somebody said, how soon? Well, you know, the Bible says the day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, somebody said, why do you believe in the rapture? Well, there's several reasons. One, you know, on the day of Noah, the flood didn't come until Noah was in the ark. Jesus compared his coming to that. When Lot was in Sodom, God's judgment couldn't fall on Sodom until Lot got out. You see, Paul says here, here's an explanation. He said, for God has not appointed us for wrath. We're not appointed to wrath today. We're appointed to salvation. And he said, expectation, notice what he said. We're living expectantly today. Jesus, John said, little children, we're already in the last days. You see, today if I was really looking for the tribulation, I'd have to be looking for the Antichrist and not the Christ. You know, you begin to think about the day of the Lord, and as God said, what a horrible, horrible, horrific time that's going to be. And I would encourage you, when you get home, take the book of Revelation and just begin to read and see all of the details that God gives there, the vials and the bowls and the seals of judgment that's going to come upon this world. How horrible and horrific it is. Paul says here something that wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. You know, if I had to tell people, hey, we're going to undergo all of this, that's not very comforting and encouraging to me. What's comforting and encouraging to me is knowing that God's going to come and Jesus is going to come and take us out of this world before God's judgment falls today, because I'm not appointed to wrath. Edify, encourage, comfort one another this morning. I'm listening for the trumpet. I believe it's about to be blown. I know one thing, it's closer than it's ever been. And the question that you have to answer in your own heart is, are you ready? If the Lord were to come today, if God's judgment was begin to be poured out tomorrow, where would you be? Would you be with Jesus? Or would you be upon this earth facing that horrible time of God's wrath and judgment upon an unrepentant and an unbelieving world today? You have trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God. Where would you be if Jesus came today? That's the question all of us have to answer. All right, let's stand together with him. Brother Bruce, Miss Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. This precious holy name I pray. Amen.